Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Mem Dal. Begin two lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the incident of Achan in Yericha, in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, which our Mishnah had introduced us on the previous daf, regarding that the one who's about to get stoned should confess and he'll get atonement, as we find by Achan, the same thing happened. Now, in one of the psukim we quoted from the previous daf, the pasuk says, Chata Yisrael. Now, Hashem Yisbaruch tells Yeshua that the Jewish people have sinned. Actually, it was just Achan, but the entire Jewish people took responsibility, as we ended off in the previous daf, regarding either because even the Nestaris, they became responsible, or it was the Niglois, which is Lana Vaneinu. But one thing we see from the fact that it says Chata Yisrael, and doesn't say Chata Ha'am, the people, rather uses the term of distinguishment of the Jewish people of Yisrael, it indicates that they still had their sanctity even after this sin. Which Amar Baba Bar Zavdi says that comes to teach you, Afa Pishachata, even if they sin, Yisrael, who they still consider the Jewish people. On that Amar Baba, he says, Hain Damish Inchi, this is what people say, Asa the Koi Beine Chilfi, a myrtle, a hadis that's between the Aravis, between the willows, Asa Shmei, it's still called a myrtle. But Asa Karli, and people call it that. In other words, even the Jewish people, if they're covered and they're surrounded by sin, they're still distinguishable and they're still considered Yisrael. Now the end of that pasuk says, "V'gam over es berisi asher tzivisi oisam," and they also violated my covenant which I commanded them. "Gam lokhum min achem," they also took from the what was prohibited, and this is all referring to Achan, but the Jewish people had responsibility for that. "V'gam gonvu," and they also stole. "Gam kichash," they also denied. "Gam sam bechlem," they also put it into their vessels. So Amr Balaam Meshur Mebihuda Bar Mesparta, he says, Malamedis comes to teach you, Sha'over Achen, Achamisha Chum Shei Torah, that Achen violated the five books of the Torah. Shneim, like it says, Chamisha Gam, it says five times the word Gam, that comes to include all the five books of the Torah. He violated the entire Torah. Another teaching from Amr Balaam Meshur Mebihuda Bar Mesparta, says, Achen, additionally, Meshach Bar Lasei Haya. He would draw the skin of his male member, constantly pulling it and stretching it out until it covered the tip of the male member so that it shouldn't appear that he's circumcised, almost to make it like back as having a foreskin. How do we know this? Ksiv ha'cha v'gam over his brisi. It says over here in regards to Achan that they also violated my covenant. But ksiv ha'cha, the pasuk says in Bereishis, as brisi ha'fen, that my covenant they have nullified, which refers to someone that doesn't get a circumcision. So we know that he was Moshech bar lasei. So the Gemara is pshita, obviously. Rabbi Law himself had just said in the previous statement that he violated Kal Torah Kula, obviously did everything wrong. What's the Chiddush in saying he was Meshech Bar Lasei? So it's Gemara, Ma'a D'Teima B'Mitzah Gufa Le'Paka. We would think that, however, a mitzah that applies to his body, he would not have made himself so hefker, so ownerless, so open to doing things wrong, that even in his body he would take his circumcision and undo that. We would have thought it doesn't go to that extent. Kamash Malan, that includes everything, even Meshech Bar Lasei. Similarly, the Gemara says that it says later on in Sefer Yeshua that v'chi'as nevala b'Yisrael, and that they have committed this despicable thing in the Jewish people. Amar b'Abba Bar Zavdi, he says Malamed, this comes to teach shebal achen nair marasa, that achen cohabited with a naira that's between age 12 and 12 and a half that was engaged to another man. He had relations with her. How do we know this? K'siv ach, it says over here v'chi'as nevala, that he did a nevala in b'Yisrael. There's a passing in the Varm that says, Ki asasa nevala b'Yisrael, because she has done a nevala b'Yisrael, which refers to the incident of a man having relations with an Aymer Rasa. So the Gemara says again, Pshita, it's obvious. We said he violated Chamisha Chom Shitaira. What's the Chiddush in saying there was Baal Aymer Rasa? Says the Gemara, Ma'ad Etem, what would you think to say, Kula Hailoi Paka Nafshi? That much, he wasn't going to make his soul totally hefker to doing evil, which is Rala Shemaim. It's negative to Hashem. It's Rala Bris, it's hurting another person because it's embarrassing also this girl's family. It's making her forbidden on her husband. Kamash Malon, that no, he even went to that extent. He was Bala Naira Mirasa. Ravina gives a different interpretation. He says this that is comparing by saying that he did a Asat Nevala B'Yisrael, which compares him to the Naira Mirasa, is Dine Kinaira Mirasa. His judgment was like the one who was Bala Naira Mirasa, which was Dibiskila, which they commanded to stone him just like Namurasa. If someone has his Baal Allah, he gets the punishment of being stoned. Amalei Resh Galusa L'Rav Huna. The Resh Galusa, the head of the Jewish people in Bavel, said to Rav Huna, he asked him, Ksiv, the Pasuk says later on, it says, V'yikach Yeshua es Achen ben Zerach. Yeshua took this Achen, the son of Zerach, Vesa Kesef, and all the silver, Vesa Deres, and the cloak, Ves Lashna Zav, and the golden thread, Vezbana vezbenaisa, meaning these were all the things that he had, the spoils of war that he took inappropriately. Vezbana vezbenaisa, his sons and his daughters. Vezshari vezchamari, his ox and his donkey. Vezsani vezolai, his sheep and his tent. Vezkalashli, everything that he had. Now, and he took it and seemingly to destroy. Now, the question he asked him was, Imhuchate, if Achin had sinned, Banav Benaisa Machate, what is his sons and daughters sin that he's taking them all to get killed? So Amalei said to him, what do you mean, Tamech, according to your understanding of the Pasuk, Imhuchate, if Achin sinned, Kal Yisrael Machate, what did all the Jewish people sin? Because the Chassid says there at the end of the Pasuk, not only did he take him and his donkeys and his sons and his daughters, it says, B'chol Yisrael Ima, and all the Jewish people with them. Rather, why did he take the Jewish people with him? Was l'rdaisin, was to subdue them, was to show them what harm was done and that they should take heed and they shouldn't do the same thing that Achan had done to misappropriate in what was forbidden, the spoils of war. He took his family members to learn the lesson from what's happening to their father, but not that he was actually going to punish even his sons and daughters. Now it says in the next pasuk, v'yisfu oisim be'esh, that he burnt them in the fire, and he stoned them with stones. So the question is, Batarti, he did both? He burnt and he stoned? So Ravina says, no, harolis reifas reifas, whatever is fit to be burnt, like silver and gold and garments, that he burnt. Harolis skila, whatever could be stoned, he stoned, which is him, his ox, his animals, which was a penalty. Again, it was to show people, to scare them off, to subdue everyone else, say, this is what happens to someone that does this, and to warn the Kol Yisrael and the sons and daughters not to take the same actions. Now, regarding what we just mentioned, regarding the items that he had taken, so it says earlier, it says, Ve'era Beshal, that when he was confessing, he says, look, I saw in the spoils of war, Aderes Shinar Achas Teva, I saw a Babylonian cloak, which was very nice, Umasayim Shkolim Kesef, and 200 silver shkolim. And I saw it, and I took it. Now, Rav Amr, he says, what's this cloak? Was Itzla Demilsa. It was a pure garment that was from the wool of a sheep when it's a day old. Now, what they do is that they would take a sheep and they would cover it with some type of a covering that from the day it's born, it was covered and it never got dirty. It's pristine, beautiful white. That was the cloak that he saw and he couldn't hold himself back and they took from the spoils of Yerichai. Shmuel, I mean, he says, actually, it refers to Sarbalo de Tzrifa. It's talking about a cloak that was dyed with what's called this called alum, which gives it a beautiful color. That's the type of cloak that he took, and for that they were punished. Now it says later on, it says in the pasuk that they took from the tent of Achan and they brought it to Yeshua and to all the Jewish people. And it says Vayitzikum lifnei Hashem, when they heard what Achan had done and what he took, so he took it and he spread it out in front of Hashem. So Amar of Nachman, he says that Ba Yeshua came v'chavtim lifnei Achan, like threw it in front of Hashem. Amalafan, be said in front of Hashem, Rebbein Yishol, the master of the world, Al Elu Tihari Grubish Al Sanhedrin, for these items, you're going to kill out the majority of the Sanhedrin, of the high court? Tachsev, like it says earlier in Sefer Yeshua, V'yakum mehem anshei Ai, that the people of Ai killed from the Jewish people when they were fighting with them, Kishleish Meshisha Ish, like 36 men. Now, Matanya in the Brisa, Shleish Meshisha Mamash Debe Yudu, says literally that's what happened, they killed 36 men from the Jewish people. Now, Amr ibn Chaim said to him, "V'chishleishim meshisha." Do you really think it was 36 men? V'haloi loy nemar elikishleishim meshisha ish. Don't say that they killed 36, like 36 men. Ella zeh Yerubim Menashe rather refers to Yerubim Menashe sheshalkel keneged Rubish al Sanhedrin, who he was the equivalent, equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin 71, the majority is 36 versus 35. That's what it means that they killed like 36 men. They killed Yerubim Menashe. So Yeshua was like saying, for these items, you're going to kill out such beautiful, righteous people because of these few items that Achin took. Now, related to this halacha that we just said, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav, he says, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Mishlei? Tachanunim yidabe rush, the supplications speaks the pauper, v'ashriyana azaz, but the wealthy man speaks with audacity. So says Rav, Tachanun Midabe Rosh, when it says the pauper talks with supplication, Zeb Moshe, that refers to Moshe Rabbeinu when he needed to ask mercy for the Jewish people, he would talk in a soft way. But V'asher Yana Azaz, but the wealthy one speaks with audacity, Zeh Yeshua, that refers to Yeshua. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Ilei Mimshom Nechzev, if you're going to say, because like the pasuk we just quoted before that says, V'yitzikum Lofnei Hashem, that he spread out from the Hashem. And V'amar of Nachman, like we just quoted from Nachman, he says, Ba V'chavtim Lofnei Malkam, he threw it in front of Hashem. And that the Gemara says, Atu Pinchas le'amr hachi, why are you calling that only Yeshua? You think Pinchas didn't do the same thing? Tachsivit says a pasuk in Tehillim, "Vayamid Pinchas vayefal." Pinchas stood up and he was yefal. But Te'atzer Magif, and he held up the plague that was killing the Jewish people in the times of the desert. Now, Amar Blazi says vayespal loynem. It doesn't say and that he prayed. Ela vayefal. What's that? Malamet she'asa pelilis in kain. It teaches that he did pelilis. The word pilel means to judge. That he made a judgment with his Creator. What he did was threw the bodies of Zimri and Kozbi that he killed in front of Hashem. And Nam Lavan, he said in front of Hashem, Rebbeinu Shel, Master of the World, Al Elu Yiplu Esther Marba Elef Miyisrael, because of these two, 24,000 of the Jewish people will die. That's something it says in the Pasuk in Midbar, it says, Vayu HaMesim HaMegifa, that the dead ones of the plague war are above Esmel, 24,000. So why are we saying that great Aziz Yeshua had? Pechas also did the same thing. So rather, says the Gemara of El Mahacha, rather, the source is from a different pasuk in Yeshua, where the pasuk says, "Lama hevarta hever esa'am azeh esayard." And why do you go, Yeshua complained to Hashem, and pass these people over the Jordan River, which, like the pasuk that continues, that to give us over into the hands of the Amori to have us killed out. He was complaining, Hashem, why are we not being successful? Why do you even take us over the Jordan? So you see that he was speaking word of dastardly to Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Moshe nami meimam." But how could you say that Moshe Rabbin himself spoke like that? As the pasuk says in Shemais, "Lama harayus lama zeh." He complained to Hashem, "Why do you do bad to this people? So why is Yeshua the one being singled out?" So Ella rather says the Gemara Mahachav in the pasuk that we mentioned before says over there, "Velu hoyalnu," which means like, and if only it would be Vaneisha be'evayarden, that we would have settled on the other side of the Jordan. In other words, you would never have taken us over the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael, which sounds like he was saying it would have been better for us not to fulfill your commandment that you told us, kum avar es hayarden, go over the Jordan. That's audacious. And therefore he got the title, what the pasuk says, that the usher, Yidaber Aziz, Yana Aziz, that he talks with audacity. Now the pasuk says over the Nesevi Yeshua, that v'yema Hashem el Yeshua kumlach, after the downfall that they had, Hashem said to Yeshua, go up. Now, but he doesn't just say kum, he says kum lach. The word lach sounds like from you, and it's because of you that this happened to the Jewish people, because the punishment had to do with you too, because you didn't fulfill what I told you. What is that? So Dorosh Reb Shili says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, actually, Shelcha Kasha Mishalem, what you did was worse than what the Jewish people did. Because Ani Amarti, I said in Sefer Devarim, I said that when you pass over the Jordan, you should stand up those stones. There were certain stones that had to be stood up. But you distanced it not right over the Jordan, 60 mil, which was to Har Gerizim and Har Evil, which was 60 mil from the Jordan, as the Gemara says in Sayyidat of Lamed Vav Min Alv, and that's where you stood up the stones. So therefore, because you didn't do, it's actually a lot of it is your problem, and you caused the Yeshua, not necessarily Achan and the Jewish people. Now, Basad did nothing. After Bshila had left and expounding this pasuk of Kum Lach by saying it's your fault, Yeshua, because of the stones that you didn't stand up right away, Rav appointed an Amayra, which was someone that announces what he's saying to the public, and he expounded as follows. It says in Sefer Yeshua later on, it says, Kashatziva Hashem es Moshe Abdei, like Hashem commanded his servant Moshe. Kain tziva Moshe es Yeshua, that's what Moshe commanded Yeshua. V'chinas Yeshua, and that's what Yeshua did. Lehaser Davim mekol Hashatziva Hashem es Moshe, he didn't leave out one thing that Hashem commanded Moshe. So the pasuk's telling us that he did everything Hashem told Moshe. And therefore, it's not appropriate Rabbi Shila had darshan by saying that it was Yeshua's fault because he changed. He's making it sound like Hashem told him to do it right over the Jordan and that he didn't. He did it 60 mil later. But you see from the pasuk, he did everything Hashem said he should do. So, imkein matam alimah kumlach. So then how do you expound the word that says kumlach, get up, it's like your fault? What if it wasn't that, because he did everything Hashem said, so what was his fault? So it was because amalei, Hashem has said to Yeshua, Ata geram to lehem, you caused it to them. Why? How did he cause it? Not because of anything he didn't do what Hashem had said. It was because he should not have made it forbidden to partake of the spoils of war, of Yerichai. And it was his fault because he made the cheirim. Yeshua, he should not have done that. And that's what Hashem said to Yeshua by the war of Ai, which was later on, that he said that, Rakshlalo behemta tevaizu. In other words, he was saying that, no, don't have a cheirim this time. As the pasuk says, "Vasisa la'ayu l'malka," that you should do for Ai, which is the name of the place and its king. Kasha sisa li'irichu l'malka le'gedita yiriche, and to the king v'goyim, etc. Where the pasuk says, "Rakshlalo behemta tevayz lechem," but that you could take the animals and the spoils for yourself, which Hashem was basically telling him, it was your fault. Don't make these things forbidden for the Jewish people, and that's why it was kum lach, and that's why the next time he told them, let them take from the spoils of war. Now, this whole incident that we're discussing of Yeshua with Achan was an incident that took place when they were conquering Yericho. So the Gemara goes back to another incident with Yeshua and Yericho. It says in the Pasuk, "Mayhi b'yis Yeshua b'Yericho," that it was when Yeshua was by Yericho. V'yisa einav, he lifted up his eyes, v'yar, and he saw, v'goyim, etc., where it says over there that he saw a man facing him and he had his sword stretched out in his hand. And Yeshua said to him, "Are you from us or are you from our enemies?" And he said, "No, I am a master from the army of Hashem. It's now that I have come." So it says, so Yeshua fell on his face to the ground and he bowed down to him. Now the Gemara first asks, how did he do this, that he bowed down to a person at nighttime? Since he told him, meaning when Yeshua asked him, he says, "Are you from us or are you from our enemies?" Obviously, it was nighttime, because it was daytime. He would be able to recognize, is he a Jewish soldier or a non-Jewish soldier? So since it was nighttime, so how did he even tell him when he started off? How did he tell him? How was he bowing down to him and saying hello to him? But Vamir B'yechim Rechon says, "Aslil Adam Shitin Shalom L'Chavei B'Layli." Not only give peace, not only say shalom to a friend at nighttime. Cheshin Hashem Eshedu. We're concerned that maybe he's a demon, and you're not allowed to say out Hashem's name regarding a mazik, a harmful element, and the reason and shalom is Hashem's name, as the pasuk says in Shaiftim, the Yikole Hashem Shalom. And for sure, you're not allowed to bow down, because that's almost like bowing down to Seirim, to this type of demons. So if you can't say shalom, you for sure can't bow down. So how did he bow down if he didn't know? You're not supposed to do these things at nighttime. So it's Gemara Noshani Hashem. The Kamali there was different because that Malach had told him, "Ani Sar Tzeva Hashem." He told him that I am an agent, a master in the army of Hashem, which means he's a Malach. And Atabasi Begerman, now I've come, so he knew he wasn't a shade. But the Gemara asked, "What do you mean? But Dilma Meshakri, maybe he was lying. Maybe he really was a shade, and he was just saying he's a Malach." Says the Gemara, "No, Gemiri Dilma Afki Hashem Shemel Batel." We have a tradition that the Shadim do not say out the name of Hashem in vain. And since he was saying, "I'm a Sar Tzeva Hashem," he said Hashem's name. Obviously, it was not a shade; it was a Malach, and therefore he was allowed to bow down to him. Now, as we continue to Medbeis, the Gemara is being Medayik, is darshaning that the words that the Malach said, "Atabasi, now I have come." Now, for the fact that he told him, "Now I'm coming," sounds like that Yeshua told him something else. He was wondering, "Why are you coming?" And that the Malach is saying, "No, not from that first one, but Atabasi, I'm coming for the one right now." As the Gemara expounds, Amalei, that he said to him, the Malach said to Yeshua, "Emesh, yesterday," meaning today before it got dark, what's called Bein Arbayim, which is also called yesterday, because that's the term before it gets dark. It says, "Bitaltim tomachel ben abayim." You were mevatel. You did not fulfill the obligation of bringing the carbon. That's the daily sacrifice that's supposed to be brought towards evening time. And v'achshav, now you're doing another sin. Bitaltim talmud Torah. You're not fulfilling the obligation to learn Torah. Now, since by daytime you weren't learning Torah, that was because you were busy fighting a war. But now that that it's nighttime, you're supposed to be learning Torah. And you should actually have been spending camp time in the evening in Gilgal, where that's where the camp is, and not here in where the war is going on and laying siege, because you should be learning Torah. So on that, Yeshua said to him, "Aleiz men basa." So for which one are you coming to tell us about that we did wrong? For the Karbid Tamin Shal Ben Abayim that we didn't do earlier, or for the Bittul Torah that we're doing right now? On that, Amalei, that's what he said to him, "Atabasi, it's for this one right now that I'm coming to take and punish you for, to tell you that you're doing wrong." So Miyad, immediately Yeshua was warned, and he made sure never to go ahead and do that and lay siege at nighttime. And that's why by a later war, not by Yericho, but by Ai, it says, "Vayalan Yeshua balaylahu b'toicha emek," that Yeshua, he laid down at that night in the valley. Farmer B'yichon, he expounded what that means to say, it's melamed shalon b'umke shal halacha. He laid down in the depth of halacha, not that he went to sleep in the depth, but I mean to say that it's a term of laying in the depth of halacha, meaning he spent the night learning Torah. Now, relating to this, Amar of Shmuel Bar Unya Mishmei Derabbi says, "Gadol Tamat Torah, greater is the learning of Torah, Gisa Makrevas to me, the more than bringing the daily sacrifice in the base of Midrash." Shanem, like the Pasuk just said, Atabasi. He asked him, "Which one are you coming to tell us that we did wrong? For the carbon Tamat that we didn't bring, or Tamat Torah?" And he says, "For the one right now, you see the learning Torah is greater than that." I think Mor goes back to relate a halacha to what we said before, that Yeshua and Pinchas were hitiach dvarim, they like threw things in front of Hashem to say for this. So I think Mor brings a similar concept. Rami Abayil Rav Dimi says, "Hi krob emarava b'may muk misilai." It says, how do they explain in Eretz Yisrael this pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Al teitzei l'riv maher"? Don't go out to a dispute very fast. Pen matasa b'achrisa, because maybe what are you going to do at the end? B'hachlam oischa reacha, when your friend embarrasses you. Rivcha rivas reacha, rather go ahead and have your dispute with your friend. But beside acher al togel, do not reveal the secret of someone else. So he says, what it means is as follows. B'shosh amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yechezkel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, Leich amal em l'Yisrael, go tell the Jewish people, as it says in his prophecy in Sefer Yechezkel, Avicho ha-mayri ve'imcha chitis. Your father, the Amayri, your mother, the chitis, which refers to Terach and his fathers who came from Canaan, where the Jewish people come from. And so when he was telling them to tell the Jewish people those type of terms, so amaruch paskoinis l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a spirit of psak, of stopping, of organizing, said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which refers to the Malch Gavriel, Rabbi Nishla, master of the world. Im yevoy Avram, and this is what the pasuk refers to in Mishlei. Im yevoy Avram v'sar b'yam l'fenecha, Avram and Sar, they come and stand in front of you. Ata eimer lehem, you're going to tell them this statement that you just said to tell the Jewish people. Umach l'maisim, you're going to be embarrassing them, because you're going to be calling them emayri echiti, because that's where their father came from. Rivcha riv esriacha, to the contrary, says Gavriel. Fight your fight with your friend. In other words, if you want to rebuke the Jewish people, rebuke them themselves. But beside Acher, but the secret of others, meaning Avram and Sarah, I'll talk, don't reveal their secret to degrade them. Because that's what the pasuk continues says, because maybe what are you going to do when they come, meaning Avram and Sarah, in front of you, and they're going to say, what did we sin? Why are you embarrassing us? Go ahead and take it up with our children, the Jewish people. Why are you saying things that are derogatory to Avram and Sarah? Now the Gemara asks, immediately Rishusa, does Gavriel have such permission, kulei hai, so much, like we said, this concept of Hatir Dvaram Kal B'Maila, to speak with such audacity in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Gemara, yes, the Amr B'Yisi B'Reb Chanina, Shola Shemes Yeshloi. Gavriel, or some have a Gersa that says not Gavriel, but whoever this Ruach Paskanis is, has three names, Piskain, Itmain, and Sigrin. Why does he have these three names? Piskain is Shepesik Dvaram Kal B'Maila, because he could throw things towards Hashem, meaning that he could say out these things. Itman, from the term of sha'itim of an essential soul, because he covers over the sins of the Jewish people. And Sigrin means to say kibin shesager, because once he closes, meaning if this ruach, whether it be Gavriel, does not have permission to beseech mercy anymore, because let's say in the case of when the anger of Hashem is very strong, then shuvein epeseach, then no other mouth could open up with a request, because it's not going to help, because he's the defender of the Jewish people. And yes, he could speak that way, and that's his job, to speak that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to protect the Jewish people. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before, quoting a pasuk in Eiv, which is what Eve's friends said to Eve. They said to him, "Hayarech shu'acha, did you prepare beforehand your scream? Loi batzar, when it wasn't yet the tzara didn't come yet." What they were telling him was that if you would have done that, now after the tzara, now you're crying and complaining. Had you done it before the tzara, then everyone would have supported you. So Amr Blazi says, "La'ilum yaktim adam tefillah tzar." A person should always daven before the tzara, before the travails come. Shalmali lahiktim Avram, and this is where it comes into the discussion we had previously with Yeshua and I. Shalmali lahiktim Avram tefillah tzar bin beisel uvena ai, because had it not been that Avram Avinu would have davened for the tzara, which was between Basil and I, when Avram Avinu was there, which is referring to what happened with Yeshua when he was in Ai trying to conquer Israel, had Avram Avinu not davened before that tzara, like Nishtar Misayneim Shalisol Tzara Tzara, so it wouldn't have just been 36 or like 36 that would have died. There would not have remained a remnant of the Jewish people. And therefore you see that the tefillah should come before the tzara, and therefore you'll be spared from more harm. Different interpretation in that pasuk. Rish Lakish Shami says, "Kol ha'ametz atzman b'tefillah melmata, whoever strengthens himself with prayer down here, ein lo yitzarim, he doesn't have any prosecutors melmala up there." So that's what it means. Lo yitzar, then if someone is yarech shach, if you prepare your prayer, then you won't have any tzar, you won't have any prosecutors up there. A third interpretation, Yechonam, he says, "Lo v'olam yivakash adam racham, a person should always beseech mercy. Sheyu hakol ma'amtzin his koicha, that everyone should strengthen his strength." In other words, that the ministering angels should support him, that for his request of mercy, "val yihu leitzar melmala," that he shouldn't have any prosecutors up there. In other words, what the pasuk is saying according to this interpretation is, "Hayaruch shu'acha, did you come to prepare your prayer?" And what type of a prayer? that loy batzar, that you should not have any prosecutors, and that everyone should support your strength. That's exactly what the tefillah should be. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah, and that says, minayin shekibul loy viduyeh. So we tell the guy who's about to be stoned, you know, say viduy, because you get a chelik al mahabo, like we find ba'ochin. So the Mishnah says, how do we know that the confession of Achin was an atonement for him, and etc. As the Gemara quotes a brisa that elaborates, turn up on the brisa. How do we know that the confession of Achin atoned for him? It's not like it says in Sefer Yeshua. It says, "V'yimelo Yeshua." Yeshua said to him, "Machartani, what are you making us all muddled over here? Yachorcha Hashem, Hayimazeh, Hashem should muddle you today." Which tells us, it's only today that you're going to be in this state of disarray. But you're not going to be in that confounded state in the world to come, because he will have a chelik lamabo. The confession is an atonement. So to exhibit, there's a pasuk in Dibur Yom Aleph that says, Ubnei Zerach, that the sons of Zerach were Zimri, which that's actually, as we'll see later on, refers to Achin. And he's included with all his other brothers who were righteous. And that's also the same idea that we see that he's considered righteous because of his confession. So Zimri, Ve'esan, Ve'heman, Ve'chilchel, Ve'dardara, Kulam Chamisha, they're all five. So the Gemara says, my Kulam Chamisha, what does it mean the all five? Kulam Chamisha, Hein, Lo'im Abba, they're all five brothers who go to Olam Haba. And again, that's because of Achin's confession. Now the Gemara actually asks, what do you mean? Ksiv Zimri, it says over here by the sons of Zerach, it says from the five sons, Zimri, and it doesn't say Achin. Uksiv, but in Sefer Yeshua it says Achin. It says, V'yikach Yeshua es Achin ben Zerach. So you see that he was a son of Zerach. So why in Dibur Yom doesn't it mention that he's a son of Zerach? So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel. They both say that actually Achin was the same one who's called Zimri. But Chadama, Achin Shmuel, one says that his real name is Achin. But Lama Nikra Shmuel Zimri, why was he called Zimri? Sha'asa Ma'isa Zimri, because he did the action like Zimri, who Zimri was a Noyef. He was an adult. He was someone that had an illicit relationship with Kazbi, as we said before. That so to Achin was Baal Nair Marasa, so he was also a Noyef. And also, just like by Zimri, because of him, the Jewish people, many of them died in the plague, just like they were punished by Zimri, where 24,000 Jewish people died, and here was the majority of the Sanhedrin in the incident in the war with Ai. The other one says that actually his name was Zimri. Why was he called Achin? Which actually refers to like an achna, which means a snake. He caused it to circle the sins of the Jewish people on them, like a snake who circles around and he encircles that. That's what he ended up doing, that they were circled with their sins because of Achin. Now the Mishnah then said, "In yedelus vadis v'chulu," if the one who is about to be stoned doesn't know how to confess. So they tell him, just say that the death should be an atonement for me. Now, Rabbi Huda said that, but if he knows that he's not guilty for this crime, that those who prosecuted him, those witnesses, actually were Edom Zayman. So he says, let my death be an atonement for all my sins, except for this crime that they're prosecuting for me. Which Rabbana disagreed, and they said, no, because if that's the case, everyone is about to be prosecuted. Even the real sinner is going to say that he didn't do it, which was lonakas atzman, to just try to cleanse themselves, make believe they didn't do the sin. So the Gemara says, okay, so vinak atzman, let them go ahead and cleanse themselves. What does it bother us? Why did Rabbana have to say, if so, everyone's going to say this? So good, the guy doesn't want atonement, let him say that. But why do we have to take away that option? Says the Gemara, no, because we don't want this guy's going to his death by saying, and let it be an atonement for everything but this. We don't want there should be rumors regarding the courts and the witnesses say, wait, this guy, you heard what he said when he's about to die? Maybe these witnesses are not so iskahal, and they're not really as eligible as it may seem, and this court is a little shady, so we don't want people to start saying things like that, but we don't allow that. He could say that it should be an atonement for my sins, and not to give that clause, according to Rabbanon, except for this. Now, related halacha, Rabbanon learned the braisa. Ma'isa ba'adam echad sheyatz laharik, there was an incident where someone that was going out to be executed. Amar, he said, this idea of Rabbi Huda, he says, "Im yesh bi oven zeh, if I have this sin, loyte misasi kapar l'chol avinaisei, then let my death not be an atonement for all my sins. Vim ein bi oven zeh, and if I don't have this sin, tehe misasi kapar l'chol avinaisei, then let my death be an atonement for my sins. Ubez nimchal yisom anukin, and the court and the witnesses and the Jewish people and the Jewish people, not the witnesses, will be cleansed." But for Edom loyte lehem mechila olam, the witnesses should not be forgiven forever because they're doing the greatest harm to me, which is them executing me not rightfully. Now, Kshamu Chacham Bedavar Amru, when the sages heard what he was saying as he's about to be executed, they said, look, Lachzira Ir Efshe, to take him back, to undo it, to let him live is not possible. Shekvar nigzar gezeira, because it was already the gemar hadin. If you bring in other proof, if other people find ways to find not guilty, fine. But there's nothing here that anyone is can prove, besides what he's claiming, that he's not guilty. So it's already, there's nothing to do. Eliyaharig, rather he'll get killed, he'll get executed. And then the chain will be hanging from the necks of the witnesses. If they're the liars, we couldn't disprove them. And therefore, based on two witnesses' testimony, we execute. But if they're wrong, so then they're going to have to, the blood will be on their hands, so to speak. Now the Gemara is Pshita. What's the chiddush in this braisa? Obviously, kol kimine, what do you think? The one who's being executed is believed to suspect the witnesses? To even have to say that, okay, look, the witnesses will have to carry the blood on their hands, the chain will be carried on their necks. Why should we even listen to that, what the guy is being executed saying? Says the Gemara, loy tzricha, no, it's necessary to kohadri buhu sahadi. It's actually talking about a case where the witnesses actually retracted. They actually said, you know what, it's true. We are liars. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Who even cares if the witnesses are backing out? The halacha is, once a witness says testimony in court, he cannot go back anymore and say something that contradicts the first thing that he said. Like the pasuk says, Mikra Hey, says, Imlo Yagad, if he doesn't say, which tells us that the primary thing we're focused on the witness is the first thing he says. See, even if we would suspect them, says Rashi, it still wouldn't make a difference because we could say, even if they're backing out, it's only because they're saying, you know what, why should we carry this guy's blood on our hands? So they might just be backing out because they're afraid. But moreover, the halacha says they can't back out. So what's the chiddush in saying that they backed out? Who cares? Why should we listen to what they're saying? What's the chiddush in saying that we're going to execute him anyway? So the Gemara loy tzricha, no, it's necessary to tell us this chiddush, the avagav to kuyavi taimul masayu. Even though they gave a rationale, a reason for what they're saying when they're backing out, they're explaining why it's very likely that they were really lying, because they said we hated him for a certain reason. And that, for that hatred, is why we made up this false testimony. Kiyahu maisa de baya mixa, like this incident that was with the tax collector called Baya, which, as we'll explain in a second from Rashi, in spite of that there's a rationale to understand why they were lying, it still doesn't help. Because halacha is kibin shigit shuvin lechazim magid. Unless we have concrete proof to find him not guilty, we don't listen to what the executed guy is saying unless he has a proof, just his claim is not valid. And the two witnesses, once they said they can't back out anymore, the chiddush is, even though it almost makes sense why they had lied initially, until we have proof otherwise, there's nothing to do, and therefore they're going to execute the individual. Now the incident that's being referred to of this tax collector Baya is because there was a certain a Jewish tax collector, this person that was a wicked person. And he passed away. On the day that he passed away, a great sage in the Jewish people also passed away in the same city. So all the people of the city came to involve themselves in the burial of that gadol. Now the relatives of that tax collector was also taking him out to bury him after that Talmud Chacham. Now on the procession, when these two people were being buried, so the enemy attacked, and everyone left the coffins and ran away. Now there was one student who stayed with the coffin of his Rebbe. Now later on, when the enemy had left, so all the great ones of the city came back to bury the Chacham. Now the problem was they mixed up his coffin with the coffin of the tax collector. Now the student was screaming and saying, no, it's the wrong one, and it didn't help. No one was listening to him. And the relatives of the tax collector buried the Chacham. Now this student was in a lot of pain. He said, what was it that, what sin could have caused that this great Chacham should be buried with such disgrace by this tax collector's family? And moreover, what did this wicked person do to deserve to be buried with such great honor by all the great ones of the Jewish people? So he saw his Rebbe in a dream, and his teacher told him, don't be pained. Let me show you my honor that I have in Gan Eden, which is great honor, and I'll show you this person in Gehenim, where the door of Gehenim is slamming in his ears. But what's the reason? One time I heard in the disgrace of a Talmudic scholar, and I did not protest, and therefore I'm punished. This guy, one time he prepared a great festive meal for the governor of the city, and the governor didn't come, and therefore what's he going to do with all that extra food? He gave it out to the poor people, and that was his reward. So the student said to his Rebbe, so until how long is this man going to be judged in this harsh punishment in Gehenna? So he said to him, until Shimon Meshedech passes away, and then he's going to take his place in Gehenna. So the student said, why? Shimon Meshedech was a great tzaddik. So he said, because there are women that practice sorcery amongst the Jewish women in Ashkelon, and he's not judging them, he's not doing anything to these women. So the next day, the student said over to Shimon Meshedech what he heard in his dream. So what did Shimon Meshedech do? He gathered 80 tall, strong bachrim, young men, who they took them on a rainy day. He gave each one of them a big jug, and that each one should carry, and put a folded talis, a folded cloak inside of that jug. And he said to them, look, be careful with these women, because there are 80 of these women. And at the moment when we gather in over there, I need that each one of you men should lift up one lady from the ground. And then, because they could only have their power of sorcery and witchcraft when they're on the ground. So you have to pick them up so that their sorcery will not have control over you. And if not, we're not going to be able to win them over. So Shem Meshadech went to this mansion where these women lived. And he left the young men outside. So he said to the women, so the women said to him, who are you? So he said, I am a mechashef, I'm a sorcerer. And he says, I came to test you and your sorcery. So they said to him, what do you mean, what type of witchcraft do you practice? So he said to them, well, I could bring you 80 young men that are covered with cloaks that are going to be dry, even though it's a rainy day outside. So they said to him, yeah, let's see this. So he went outside, he signaled to the young men, they took out their cloaks from the jugs and they covered it and immediately came in. And they saw, wow, these young men, strong men, even though it's raining outside, were perfectly dry. And each young man quickly grabbed one of the women and picked them up. And therefore, they were able to overcome these women. They took them out and they hung all these women. Now, the relatives of these women were very upset, obviously, because they were all hung. So two of the relatives came and they said the same testimony, and they testified regarding the son of Shimon Meshetach, something, a type of a crime that would make him liable for a death penalty. And you have two witnesses. They couldn't disprove that these witnesses were saying not truth, even though they plotted this whole thing. And the verdict came down. When they were on the way to stone the son of Shem Meshetach, so he said this claim. He says that if I have this sin, then let my death not be an atonement for me. And if not, then let my death be an atonement for all my sins. And let the chain of my execution, be on the neck of these witnesses who are liars. And they heard what he said, and they retracted. They felt bad. They knew they're lying and they're taking someone innocent to his death. And they even explained that it's only because we wanted to take the vengeance of the women who were killed by Shem Meshetach. And even so, they didn't let the son of Shem Meshetach go free, and they had to kill him. Because ultimately, as Al Pishnei made in Yochum Daber, they testified. And even though they explained why it's so obvious that we were lying, it doesn't make a difference. There is no proof to undo the verdict. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that's the chiddush in the halacha, that once it's nigzu the gezeirah, it doesn't help anymore, and we have to go ahead and execute the individual.